106 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane, the whole gang. Also, as we mentioned a second ago, joining us now, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne to talk more about the story that's one of our top three things over at FMTalk1065.com. And that is a report out that the Trump administration may put as many as 25,000 immigrants in Baldwin County. Congressman Byrne, good morning. Thanks for your time. And give us the facts on this story.
Yes, good morning, Sean. Good to be with you again. Well, Friday afternoon, while I was literally in the air flying back home from a pretty busy week last week in Washington, we found out that they were considering, that the Department of Homeland Security is considering, putting 25,000 immigrants in tents at one or more of these strips that we have, airstrips that we have over in Baldwin County for Pensacola Naval Air Station, where they did their touch and goes. We went through this 2 years ago, you'll remember this,
right,
with the Obama administration. They were talking about putting 2,000 unaccompanied minors, immigrant minors, over there. And, of course, we beat that back partially by putting some language and some legislation that was moving through Congress. And then, finally, the Department of Homeland Security, under the Obama administration, just gave up and said, that's it, we're not going to do it. But now it's come back to life. Once again, the Department of Homeland Security, under a different administration, wants to put 25,000 adults and potentially children as well out there in these fields. No utilities, which means no water, no electricity. Well, obviously, there's nothing out there, so they'll have to just put them in tents. Very hot, very humid, you know, bugs, snakes, and hurricanes potentially. Makes absolutely no sense, particularly coming off a week where we spent the whole week talking about how inhumane it was for us to separate children from their parents. I can't imagine anything more inhumane than putting some people out there in those sort of vacant areas where these strips are in the middle of the summer, in the middle of hurricane season. It makes absolutely no sense.
Why are those two places such a draw? They were a draw during the Obama administration, now a draw for the Trump administration. There's something significant there?
No. I think it's just that the Department of Homeland Security has career people there, not the political appointees, career people who just get like an idea in their head and they can't get rid of it. So they see these strips, because they're sort of away from a population base in their minds, as a place that they could consider putting immigrants. Well, they haven't thought this through. We just found out about this Friday afternoon, so we're going to start this morning talking directly to the people of the Department of Homeland Security, talk to the secretary, particularly the people that are political appointees. They probably don't know anything about this. This has probably happened well under them. So we're going to bring it to their attention, and I'm hopeful in short order we can get them to do as the Department of Homeland Security did 2 years ago and say, no, we're not going to do this.
Hey, Congressman, I have a little trouble hearing you just volume-wise there. If I remember a couple of years ago, of course, you were working on this, as was representation from in Baldwin County, and I think at the state level as well. Have you talked to those people? Will they be working with you on this?
Yeah, I talked to Commissioner Tucker Dorsey and Commissioner Chris Elliott Friday afternoon, and we are getting the team back together that was so successful 2 years ago, and I believe working together we'll be able to achieve the same positive result we got 2 years ago.
Now, if not here, is it going to be somewhere else? Is this a question of you know, NIMBY here and just say not here, or are you challenging the fact that they will need to house 25,000, 50,000, however many thousand immigrants?
Well, we don't know where this number is coming from, by the way. This, once again, we found out about this late Friday afternoon. We have had something of an increase in the number of people who've been apprehended coming across the border. They do have to house them in some sort of a detention facility while they're going through the due process proceedings. But those are best done close to the border where they're apprehended. We do have military bases over there that have the adequate utilities in order to take care of these people and the adequate facilities, the buildings, et cetera. So it's better for them to stay there than to haul them all the way over here. And as I say, put them in tents. I mean, that makes no sense. So I think that we are going to spend some time this week re-educating them about the facilities that are already available over there in Texas and these other southwestern states.
Representative Byrne, good morning. It's Kelly Finley. Question for you. When you talk about that you're going to speak to the appropriate people throughout this week, are you going to take, is it going to be kind of like a show and tell type situation where you're going to, you know, show them, you know, from the temperatures to the area in which we're talking about that we here on the Gulf Coast are familiar with? Because as you mentioned, you need to re-educate them. What will you do to really help get your point across?
Well, we're going to take those letters that we put together back 2 years ago and dust them off, bring them up to date, and send them back over there, as I say, particularly to the political appointees, the Trump appointees, because they don't know any of these things. And say, all right, we've already been through this 2 years ago. DHS walked away from it 2 years ago because they had this data. We resubmit this data to you, ask you to make the same decision. And I think they will. I don't think anybody, once they understand and think through the facts of detaining people over here in tents, I don't think anybody's going to want to do that, particularly since they're the agency that will be in charge of having to evacuate those same people if we get a hurricane or a tropical storm. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to want to do that, go through that process.
I mean, where would you put that?
Given the facts, they'll see the wisdom of not doing it.
Yeah, where would you relocate a tent city to? I mean, let's think about that and just get out the idealism, get in the pragmatism here like you're talking about. If you have to evacuate 25,000 people, think about what that means. I mean, do you use buses? How many buses does that take? How long do you have? That's a challenge.
Yes, and they would, as I say, they would be the agency in charge of doing that because they're in charge of hurricanes to begin with, and so here we are compounding a problem we already have in case of a storm, and it's their responsibility to deal with it. It just doesn't make any sense, and we can't provide any law enforcement help, local law enforcement help, because they're already busy as they can be. You know, this time of year, the Baldwin County Sheriff's Department, the local police departments down there in the southern part of Baldwin County, they're busy as they are during the course of the year. It's just not the right time of year to be bringing a new population of people in here on top of what we already have.
Congressman, one question here, too, on just timeline stuff, and that's of interest. If you're going to hear back on this, when do you think that would be? I mean, is that something we'll know in a week, in a month? I mean, what's your best estimation?
Well, since we just found out about this, Sean, I really don't know. It's my hope that we can get it resolved in very short order because we've been through this all before 2 years ago. But once again, we got to get people's attention, and there's a lot happening over there at the Department of Homeland Security right now, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get to the right decision maker for that person to say, okay, I see it, I get it. No, we're not going to do that. It may take us weeks to do that. It may take that long.
You've mentioned, you know, the health and the safety of what could be, I mean, 25,000 people coming to this area. What would you say to those who are listening as to why else there is a concern to have possibly 25,000 migrants in our area?
You know, when you bring people, this sort of a population, anywhere, they have all sorts of special needs. These are poor people. They bring with them a host of other problems that are just part of who they are in their lives. We have to protect them from people outside of where they're being detained. We have to protect them from one another. We have to provide health care to them. We have to provide food to them. We're going to do all of that in the middle of a field that has no utilities, no water, no power, and at the same time deal with whatever other issues that they've got and potentially have to move them somewhere else because if we have a storm. So the cost to the government of doing all that, the cost to the government of providing their safety and security, the cost to the government of taking care of them when we don't have air conditioning in 90-plus degree weather, 90-plus percent humidity, you just think about all of that, it's just ridiculous. It makes no sense why a government agency that walked away from this 2 years ago would bring this back up. It's just beyond me, but sometimes that's what they do, and it's my job as a representative from down here to push back on that sort of an idea and make sure it doesn't happen.
Congressman Byrne, we appreciate your time this morning and your work on this issue, and we will check back with you soon, kind of getting updates as the days and hopefully not weeks go on.
Happy to do it, Sean.
Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us as we get started this morning right here on Mobile Mornings. Big thank you. We'll hear from you next at 343-0106. 343-0106 is also the online opinion poll question. Do you support the Trump administration possibly housing as many as 25,000 immigrants in a tent city in Baldwin County? If you thought we'd been here before, we have. Yeah, so let me know what you think.
Thank you very much, Kane. 820 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, you probably know that the right hire can really make an impact on your business. You could post to job boards and hope that you'll find the right person for your job. But just think about it. How often do you check job boards? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. That's 70%. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5, and we are coming right to the phones. Y'all hold on, but I got to... Just before that, I got to mention this. So Daphne Public Library, heard the update there from our own Charlie Moss talking about Daphne Public Library at a drum circle workshop.
Yeah. How's that work?
Okay. So I don't even, we could do the rest of the hour on this because you know, the drum circles, which are, if you're going to protest something, for some reason, the drum circle has to be part of it. And the other, can anybody help me? What is the other component of that?
I'm thinking of at least one.
There's a thing. Well, yes. Yeah, not the marijuana.
Okay, all right.
So the drum circle is there, and there's another thing going on nearby.
Anybody? Hacky sack.
Bingo. Got it. So how can we have a drum circle workshop at Daphne Public Library and not have a hacky sack workshop at Public Library? Because those two things, like when I...
Maybe coming soon.
Yeah, because I mean, I spent, folks are new to the station, whatever, don't realize, in my other life, I did about 20 years in rock and roll radio.
I thought you were going to say hacky sack.
I never did hacky sack. I think I've come in contact with a hacky sack twice in my life. Physically, it touched my body. But I, you know, did music shows forever, and I dug the tunes as much as the next dudes and dudettes out there. But it was like this, hey, we're going to do a drum circle and hacky sack for an hour and a half beforehand. I said, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do some other stuff. I enjoy the music and stuff, but I don't know why I need to... I'm out. So it's just those two go together.
Yeah, it's really funny you bring up hacky sack because I was in Branson last week.
They were not hacky sacking in Branson.
Well, you know, there's a gift shop attached to literally every building in Branson. And of course, whenever you leave a ride or leave a shop, a museum of some sort, they're going to walk you through the gift shop. Mm-hmm. But each of them had hacky sacks, and I picked up one of the hacky sacks and tried my hand at it. Never been good at it. Still wasn't good
tried
at it.
Tried your foot at it.
Tried my foot at it. There you go. But not
did
good
you,
at
did
it.
Did you look around, make sure no one saw you?
No, I was hoping that everyone would see me, actually.
If I was to do that, it'd look like somebody, St. Vitus's dance or something like that going on. All right. Go to the phones at 343-0106, and let's talk to Clifford in Mobile. First up, hey, Clifford. Hey, you got to turn your radio down.
Good morning, Miss Kelly and Sean and Wayne.
Good morning.
Dalton
there.
Dalton, yeah.
This immigration issue brings out the best in everyone. Have you heard the rant from Miss Maxine Waters?
A little bit about what she's asking folks to do. She wants people to harass Trump administration officials in any public space, right? Like restaurants or walking down the street.
Doesn't that remind you of in the old days exactly what they hired or instituted, the left instituted the Klan to do to the people on the right and the Republicans?
That they were hired to do that by whom?
They were constituted or put together by the Democratic Party to harass people.
Right, yeah, that they're, I mean, I'd say even more than harass people. But you're saying this is a tactic that is not I would say, part of a fair-minded republic, you still have the right to do it. I mean, unfortunately, I have the opinion that that restaurant, while I think that was the dumbest move ever, petty and so politically over the top, but if they want to ask somebody not to eat at their restaurant because of their politics, they have the right to. Then again, I also realize we have the right to, en masse, boycott said restaurant there in Virginia.
But this is not a restaurant issue. These people are talking about going after folks' children, you know, doing different things to children. Before long, people get the idea, like with Black Lives Matter, before long, somebody's going to get hurt or even worse.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's extremely petty, this idea, like what they did to Kirstjen Nielsen when she was at the restaurant in Washington, and, of course, what happened to Sarah Sanders. This is... The beyond petty, but you know, and the thing is, Maxine Waters can ask for whatever. Do you think she'll have? I mean, there'll be some people. There always are some people. Will she have legions of people that step up and do her bidding?
Yes, I mean it's a ton of people that don't understand that Maxine Waters is crazier than a shitty house hound dog.
That's a new one to my list. Thank you, Clifford. Yeah, so, I mean, Maxine Waters asking, you know, that she said already you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants, who have protesters taking up at their house who say peace, no sleep, no sleep, no peace. She continued on, and guess what? She predicted, she said, we're going to win this battle because you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side, declared Waters, as the crowd went wild, on the side of children, on the side of what's right, on the side of what's honorable. Harassing people, if I don't know.
I'm just surprised. If you're looking at it as a purely business decision, which I'm not, I don't know if that's what the owner of the Red Hen, and this was in Lexington, right? Lexington,
yeah.
Kentucky, Republican. Lexington, Virginia.
Virginia.
Sorry. I saw Lexington and started thinking about that. Well, so this is happening kind of near D.C. and in that area, the swamp area, you would call it. I wonder if this will start happening in more local communities when, like we just talked to Congressman Byrne. I wonder if there would be any place in Alabama that would turn aside Congressman Byrne for having that R next to his name. I wonder if we'll start seeing this in more rural communities or if this is kind of just a, if it's contained in that D.C. area.
I saw some of it on Dolphin Island this weekend. Went to go in the Circle K?
Really?
No shoes, no shirt, no service.
Well, you know, I don't think whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or just a regular old person who identifies with zero sides, it's not okay to incite violence for any reason, but it is okay to remember that you have the right to exercise your freedom of speech.
And that is, and that's, you know, there's a good point you're making there where, you know, what Maxine Waters is talking about, what Clifford was talking about, is maybe not to the, you know, full degree of the law of inciting violence, but it's different than protesting. You know, the idea of protesting, making your voice heard and differing versus basically harassment of individuals. And that's that is something different.
But think as a nation, though, I think that people are frustrated understanding how children are being treated, how people are being treated. It's a discussion that's happening around the water cooler and around the kitchen table as to what do we do as a nation? How do we handle this? Still remain who we are, yet be reminded of the different laws that are intact. It's very important.
Let's go to the phones. Ken in Mobile up next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, I was trained and had duty in the riot control area of when I was in the military, a lot of training. If we're going to bring 25,000 people into Baldwin County, what I'd like to know is what policing force from the federal government is going to step in here and keep them under control? Because if you take 25,000 people in one location, all of whom have the same interests, and you've got a rotten on your hands potentially.
Well, whether you do or not,
you have to know tactically how to keep them on that property. And the other question, if you don't mind, is: are they going to retain these people in that property, or are they going to let them roam all over Baldwin County?
Yeah, so I guess the way this was proposed a couple of years ago, Ken, and that's what I'm working off of, they would be confined to that property. And what Congressman Byrne said, even more than you're talking about an en masse issue, but what about just day in and day out policing of 25,000 people when you already have law enforcement from a county and municipal level
that it's is this tax to the National Guard or the somebody, because this is
that's what he said. That's
specific
what,
training. It's different from police training.
Well, that's what
crime
the congressman said.
And you know, it's different.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. I mean, that's what the congressman said. The congressman said that if this would happen, they would have to have, mm-hmm. you know, the feds would be on for the law enforcement feature here. You could not come in and put it on the local law enforcement. Wonder where this goes, because last time, you know, the contingent from Baldwin County, a federal delegation, state delegation, and local, like county commissioners, fought this thing to a stalemate. It has come back. Maybe we need to get those properties off the list. There's obviously a short list. When they need something, they go, well, let's go back to the list, and here we go. We got the same places
but
on that list.
That's why Representative Burns said he's going to dust off the notes from last time and re-present them.
That's right. They've done this before, so they'll be there to
I'd imagine they'd get pushback from wherever they try to push. I mean, no one wants this to come to their city, right?
Or backyard, right? Not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. How about you? We'll go to the phones when we come back at 343-0106. And also, that is the online opinion poll question. Do you support the Trump administration possibly housing as many as 25,000 immigrants, illegal immigrants? We'll find out the definition of all of them in a tent city in Baldwin County. Let us know when you vote online. FM Talk 106.5. Come to the phones and the text line in just a second. But I do want to talk about what happened on Friday. The Midday Mobile was live at Dean McCrary Mazda, and it was time for White Lightning, the Mazda 3 that Kelly's been driving for a couple weeks, to return home to home base there at Dean McCrary Mazda. But then a new vehicle caught her eye.
Yeah, so I've just posted on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll do so on Facebook. If you're new to town, what happens is every two weeks, I get a new vehicle, courtesy of the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda. I test it out. I let you know what I think from my standpoint as a mom and as a wife, and then the kids, they chime in, and we let you know, and then we also, of course, talk to the professionals and give you all the bells and whistles as to what you need to know. But yes, Sean, I turned it in, and I was not a happy camper, because I enjoyed White Lightning more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Hey, by the way, that's a quote to take out of context, Dalton. Yeah, Kelly said, let's make a time mark here, 8:36.
You better stop. I mean, because I was coming out of the Miata. I mean, that was a newlywed mobile, right?
Yes.
So I thought it can't get much better than this. But of course, you have different needs based on where you are in life, whether you're a college student, a new parent, newlywed, you know, family of five, fab five. So yeah, I had a great time. And so I brought it back. I parked it straight, but I was not happy. Came inside, and I told Greg, you know, I kind of tossed him the keys, and he said, well, I mean, what's wrong? And I said, this is a great car. So did a couple of interviews. I posted the video, and he kept me happy, and he kept me in the 3, right? The Mazda 3, but it's the hatchback. So it's a different version.
Very good.
and I thought that would be fun to test out, because I have not, I haven't driven the hatchback since early years in college. That was many years ago.
I've never driven a hatchback.
That's why I jumped on board on this one. And so he just kind of looked at me, but I said, I need to test this out to let everybody know about this vehicle. So this is the Mazda 3 hatchback 2018, virtually the same as the last vehicle. This is the Touring, and this is once again affordable and nice. I mean, the amenities are beautiful. So throughout this week and next week, I'll give you more information as to why this should be your next vehicle and why you should go directly to the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda. They're located on the East Service Road of I-65. Give them a call, 471-DEAN.
All right, let's go to the phones. And Taxman in downtown Fly Creek is up next. Hey, Taxman.
Sean.
Yes.
25,000 people. To provide sewer for them is very simple. The governor needs to be notified. This is a statewide issue. The State of Alabama Health Department. No way. There's no sewer over there. A few little septic tanks. I'm familiar with that land. Bring the governor in. This is a state issue.
There we go.
All right, bye.
Bye. Taxman, yeah, well, you could argue it on that point, too. I don't know if it gets to that level. I mean, remember last time how they fought this on all levels, which, by the way, too, Baldwin County Commissioner Chris Elliott looks like he's on for today on the Midday Show to talk more about this in the noon hour.
Great, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what Kay Ivey has to say about this if she comes out and releases a public statement or anything on this, because she still has that general election coming up, and people of Alabama would probably, I mean, especially in our area, would like to see her fight. fight for that, at least to put her opinion out there, because it'll appear like she's going against Donald Trump if she's against these camps.
Right. So here's the danger. So here's the small-minded politics, the attack ad danger of this, right? So there's a plan, and it's the Trump administration through the Department of the Navy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple levels to this. And it comes back up because obviously there's a short list of federal facilities where they think they could do this. That's why it came up during the Obama administration, why it's coming up now. But this is the trap, y'all. And down the road, this may not be this election cycle, be down the road, and you'll hear one of those ads where they talk like this. And during that ad, when they do that, they'll say, and so-and-so politician opposed President Trump. Do your research and go back and look at the individual issue. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you know, if I think, as Taxman says, this is something definitely for the governor, definitely for the representative of the state to speak up about. Of course, we have our representative in Washington, AL1's representative Bradley Byrne speaking up in Washington. Those kind of voices will be heard. But just know down the road, just do your research. Somebody says, and they oppose President Trump. What is it exactly and mm-hmm. why? And then maybe if you still then disagree, then fine. But make sure when you hear all these ads that say so-and-so disagree, mm-hmm. go back and just Google search and just read the story as it happened then and then go, okay, well, I get it. Or maybe you don't. And maybe you're still bothered and outraged. That's fine. But you're doing it from a place of knowledge.
And I think those who want to, because we know the people who like to keep their head in the sand and say, oh, that's somebody else's problem. It's elsewhere. It's another state. It's another country type deal. Now that it could be a little closer to your zip code, a little closer to your county, you're paying close attention. And so that's why it's so very important for you to do your due diligence and understand what is going on and what could happen and what almost happened just a few years ago, as you've pointed out, Sean.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and Wayne is in Saraland. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you?
Good man.
Hey, I just have really one word that I could say, and that would be California. And not meaning to be a real big cynic on Monday morning, but I feel like it would be my Christian duty to not deny the state of California, who has this love of illegal immigrants. You know, they need to be in Sacramento and Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I think we would be doing the state of California a big disservice if we were to deny them the opportunity to house all of these immigrants.
Okay, wait, and you're saying we shouldn't be selfish.
That's right. That's right. We should be willing to share and be good. You know, be good neighbors, and who are we to deny them the joy? And so I say give them to them.
That is the truth.
All that being said, you know, from a logistics standpoint, there is no, I mean, that little airstrip over there where NAS does their touching is not that big. You put 25,000 people within, you know, maybe a 2-square-mile area, got some problems.
That's for sure. Wayne, appreciate the call.
And California is mentioned in that memo from the Navy as one of the possible locations. They're talking
Arizona,
about
California, yeah. Alabama. And so Wayne's saying, why take, you know, I mean, if they're, let the,
yeah. And they also have some numbers on here. They say, so I'm guessing they mean for the facility that they're proposing here in Alabama, or one of the facilities. So the planning document estimates that the Navy would spend about $233 million for a facility that would house 25,000 people for a 6-month time period. They're saying they're building these tent cities to last between 6 months and 1 year, but $233 million for that. And then we were talking about all the other things that would come into play after that. Like, what about how many of these people are going to need medical care? Will we have local medical care going into these camps, or they'll need to be transported if they're mm-hmm. going to some sort of trial after this, if that's what they're being housed and waiting for? What will the transportation look like for that? I mean, there's all kinds of questions that need to be answered, but they're saying a 60-day proposal, and the Navy Secretary will have to approve it by then, but a lot of questions need to be answered.
Yeah, and, you know, there's one thing, transporting people, let's say they're getting them back for hearings in front of these judges on the border or whatever, that's one thing. But seriously, as the congressman brought up, during hurricane season, if you have a tent camp, you have the lowest level. I mean, we have storms where people are supposed to bail out of their campers and mobile homes, right?
Right.
Okay. If it's a tent camp beyond that, the slightest of a big wind coming through would be, so let's say all of a sudden we get a storm that is in the Caribbean. Okay, we're not sure if it's going to get in the Gulf, and you have forecasters like Dr. Bill say, well, it could catch this loop current, it could come up in 2 days, something like that. Y'all, I'm not talking about a current storm, so don't, anytime you say this, you have to give a disclaimer. Yeah. But say they have this in this imagined situation, then you have 25,000 people, and you've got to get them somewhere. First of all, you got to say, where is that?
Yeah.
And I think Terry did the math earlier, and I'm not going to go back and double check, but he said something that would be 556 45 passenger buses.
Wow.
To do this transfer of 25,000. You know, logistics of that, this is, it would be a lot easier over time to be able to get people bused to where they need to be. But if you had an emergency, people that have, they don't have their own transportation, they don't have a family they can ride with, they can't just leave and go into the countryside, right, and go with other people, what do you do? That is a steep, steep challenge. Let's go to Ed in Baldwin County next. Hey, Ed.
Hey, I just went by the fish. It's surrounded by woods, and unfortunately for a taxman, there is sewage. But there is sewage all around that.
Well, there's property, hookup. There's not sewage. I guess we need to be clear. There's hookup for sewer.
Yeah, but you're talking Baldwin County sewer. They'd love to get that money from the federal government on that sewage. But to make a long story short, I think what you just said is, I think you need to bring out the fact that there's rabid foxes over here, there's right. alligator over here.
Peacocks.
I mean, that's going to be the best thing, because you're in the middle of the woods and you're way down. It's not a good, you know, it would choke up the system to try to get that many people out there if a storm was coming.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do that, really. And by the way, rabid foxes coming back into the news cycle here on a Monday. So I thought we were done with them, but obviously not.
We should just sick Zsa Zsa, the English bulldog.
That's right. I don't think Zsa Zsa moves very fast, but when she gets there, that's going to be trouble. All right, 343-0106, coming back to the phones. At 850 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings Monday style. James, if I got a second, I will. We talked about it a little bit earlier this morning. He said, when are we going to discuss the UMO, the unidentified mowing object we saw on Facebook as my neighbor? I was getting ready to launch all my videos and all this about this mower, but yeah, I got bested over the weekend. We'll tell you what, we'll go to the phones and then we'll talk about that, James, because it is pretty darn cool. We've been working with this for about a week and a half. The folks, by the way, it's the Husqvarna 450SX. Folks at Robertsdale Power Equipment have them. It's a battery-powered electric lawnmower. That's like, okay, the best way to describe it, what a Roomba is for a house, it does for the yard. And it cuts your yard whatever the schedule is. You get an app. I can show you all on my phone here. I can tell you when it's going to cut and how long it's going to cut and all that kind of stuff. And it's slick.
Well, you said you've been working with it, but in reality, you've been doing less work because of it. So I wanted to know, do you just take the lawn chair out there, set it on the driveway, and watch? Or what do you do
so,
here?
So at first, you do that. You at first, your reaction is going to be, I'm going to watch it do this because I'm not believing it, right? But I tell you right now, in about 10 days' time, a little more, it becomes one chore that's off your list, and you could go on to do other things. I mean, I'm thinking about that. The times I get to go fishing or, you know, not do something in the afternoon in the yard. I get to go to an event or something like that. It's really cool, and it can work on big properties. We'll get into it and talk about it. But, James, that's what it is, and they have it at Robertsdale Power Equipment, and I'm going to put up more videos. You saw the video that my neighbor shared. Thank you, neighbor. But I will put up some videos, too, when we first taught it the yard and its interactions with my son. we stress-tested it with a 7-year-old boy, which is something that made it through that with flying colors. All right, let's go to the phones. And Irby in Foley next. Hey, Irby.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. What's up?
Hey, I was listening to y'all talk about the immigrants here in Baldwin County. And yes, one thing you haven't mentioned that is a serious problem in the Foley area, I don't know about the rest of the county, but I know here, is these restaurants and the lower, you know, paying jobs are, the people, the turnover is such a magnitude that it is unreal. It'll blow your mind. I know Whataburger, for instance, they raise the starting rate for people coming off the street $11 to $13 an hour, and they're still having turnover like crazy. They can't keep them.
Well, okay. Well, these would be people that have not been adjudicated on their standing in the country. Could be illegal immigrants that are just caught. Some that are asking for asylum. A handful of different reasons that they have apprehended them there on the border. And they said because of the backlog there, which are, you know, they were trying to get a plan passed last week in Congress. Remember the a couple of them. Ted Cruz had one plan. Democrats wouldn't go along with it, so there's no plan. Just that short-term executive order from President Trump. So they're saying, hey, we're going to get this backlog here. What are we going to do with the people while they're waiting for their day in front of a judge? And one of the plans is to house them in California and in Arizona and in Alabama. So that's – they would not be able to go, like – they would be detained. They would be in a detention facility there, you know.
Yeah, but it's what you we're overlooking is this is the government, you know, and they changed their mind. And once they get here, they'll get them indoctrinated to this area. And, like, all what needs help and all the industry or other things that's moving in here, Baldwin County or Foley area is busting at the seams now, and they're expanding really fast. So they're going to need that labor force. And that'll give them time to get these people. Once they get in here, you know they're going to start giving them work permits. They'll come over and they'll train them.
You think the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions?
It's a ploy to get the people here. Chamber of Commerce may be in on this. You can't ever tell, you know? I'm telling you, that's where it's headed. And we're going to get them one way or another. Because they've already, this is the second time they've come with it. I guarantee the government's going to put them here. They may be mad at Jeff Sessions. I don't know.
Okay, Irving, we'll write that down. We'll see. There's two different things. There's a whole Chamber of Commerce and other groups wanting to go easy on legal immigration, and that is factual, Irby. You bring it, but I think there's a non sequitur there between this issue specifically and what you're talking about. I don't think it's a holding facility to get people ready to start working out at OWA. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be a push by groups out there to get people and have work permits provided and all that, but I don't think this group is what we're talking about.
Well, practically, I just don't understand if they're on the border. And I can think of plenty of camps that are closer than bringing them to Alabama. That's the part that makes the least sense to me.
There you go. Dawson is in Baldwin County. Up next.
Hey, good morning. Certainly, what was his name? Irvin?
Irby.
He's done had too many cups of coffee because if you can't take, how you gonna take a Whataburger order if you can't even speak English? First of all, okay. And secondly. Baldwin County don't have no shortage of people trying to work, and that's for sure, okay?
Yep.
And I don't think they're going to start giving out a bunch of work visas to start with.
I don't think so.
You know.
But, I agree.
Yeah, if you can't even speak English, how are you going to work in the workforce down here and take orders or any damn thing? That don't even make sense to me, what he was just talking about.
Well, I think he's saying that, you know, the transition there. Listen, there's a lot of fields that have illegal immigrants and have in the past working in them. But you're right. Taking my order at Delicious Whataburger is not one of them. Wow. 855 FM Talk 106.5. Just the... I'm looking at there are a lot of texts coming in as well. Mixter says here, now this is thinking.
Yeah.
This is thinking.
We need some of that this morning.
Maybe we could, using facilities that are abandoned with where we need, maybe we could put them in the abandoned Blockbuster video stores. You know?
That is a great idea. And it's a movie gallery. There's all kinds of places we can house them.
You'll be back there. We're taking all people, all venues that used to sell VHS that have not become a frozen yogurt place that will now house people. Let's go to our buddy Buck next from Hurley. Hey, Buck.
Here, you brought up rabid foxes this morning, and so it would have been just absolutely wrong of me not to bring up the rabid Democrats this morning.
If you haven't had them vaccinated.
There's plenty of those out there.
You got to get them vaccinated. Make sure to get them vaccinated.
All right, spade and neuter your Democrats. That's even better. It only makes sense to house those folks near the border. There's no need to bring them all the way to Alabama. Jeff, the senator is absolutely right. House them there where they're at. Don't bring them here. It's a mistake.
There we go. Buck, appreciate the call.
And the president actually commented on that, believe it or not, on Twitter this morning. He was talking about the immigration issue. He said, hiring many thousands of judges and going through a long and complicated legal process is not the way to go. It will always be dysfunctional. People must simply be stopped at the border and told they cannot come into the U.S. illegally. Children brought back to their country. If this is done, illegal immigration will be stopped in its tracks and at very little, by comparison, cost. This is the only real answer, and we must continue to build the wall. So that's another question. Why, and I'm sure there's an easy answer to it, but why not just turn them around at the border instead of bringing them in to house them?
And there's something to it, and I have to go back and listen to a podcast of the Midday Show when Brendan Kirby was on, or we can get Brendan back on today maybe to talk about this, because he walked through the legal reasons, because I thought the same thing. Why couldn't you, if you get them and you're like, y'all are illegal, where's your paper? No papers, all right, go back that way. He had walked through. There's a reason why.
Right.
There's a reason why. And I just, it has slipped my old mind.
I think situations like this, if you thought you knew, you learn even more. If you didn't know, you're learning now, because it's like we're getting insight into our judicial system, mm-hmm. and how laws are supposed to work and the policies that are put in place. And I think everyone is learning, whether you agree with it or not, at least hopefully we're all learning. I think, Dalton, you said it right. None of this makes sense.
Well, it's just like we got to learn over the past few years in the state of Alabama how stuff works for impeachment and other things, I mean, there was a point, remember, when even the people that were in the House and Senate in Montgomery went, we don't know how this works. Mm-hmm. We all have to learn. All right. By the way, coming up today on Midday Mobile, Andy Andrews is joining us. He has a book signing event coming up in Fairhope. We'll talk about the Traveler's Gift and the Traveler's Summit, his new book, and he'll join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, Baldwin County Commissioner Chris Elliott joins us in the noon hour, and we'll talk to you at 343-0106. All right. See you in three.